Hello, welcome to the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandelwa Kandepwe, also known as Aka. I know, it's cool. We're wrapping up the year, and one of my favorite things about having your own podcast is you get to invite whoever you want. And I think if you've been listening to the conversations I've been having on this podcast, it's always with my favorite people. Most of the time, this comes from a place where I do think my favorite people have so much wealth, and I kind of want to share them in a sense that I can't give you their number, but at least you can listen to them on the podcast. Makes sense, right? Today's guest is somebody special. I have known her most of my life. She inspires me to be better. She's kind of my safe space. Somebody who I don't normally talk to, but literally is one of my favorite people in the world and doing the most in the industry she's working in. With that being said, please welcome my sister. I know, right? So cool. Walia. Hi, Walia.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? I'm so happy.
I'm fine. I'm just like, oh, just when I start getting all emotional with that amazing intro.
Yeah, because I have known you for so many years, almost 10 years now, which is so cool.
Imagine that.
I know, right? I feel right. Do you feel old? I've grown. Do you feel old?
I don't want to feel old, but yeah, some days.
I kind of feel like I'm your definition of, okay, if she's growing, it yes. means we're all growing.
Yeah, when I look like, oh my goodness, this is how much she's growing, I must be growing old.
Oh my goodness. I loved how we met, right? So we met in 2015, August, at a climate change workshop. I don't remember. Oh no, we called it a conference then. I don't remember most of the things that happened. I do know we kind of had fun. It was kind of fun. We had load shedding though, but it was very fun. We're in Livingston, and I met two people that I'm still in. I met a lot of people, but two people that I'm still very close to, and you're one of them. Like, when you look back, did you ever think that our relationship was going to evolve this way?
Not at all. Like, I would have never guessed, but I am glad that it has.
What was your favorite thing working for? I don't know if it was wildlife stew then, right? Because you get to go to conferences, meet young people. I know now that is done mostly by UN. UNICEF is under UN, right? But then that was done also years back, but it was for climate change ambassadors. So we had these conferences and stuff. So, yeah. Like, do you miss that experience? I know you've evolved over that.
I have. And it was a beautiful experience because my career was just starting out, in case you didn't know.
By that time. I didn't.
Yeah, my career was just starting out. And even then, it was still a program of UNICEF, but they were in partnership with WECS, Wildlife and Environmental Conservation Society of Zambia. And I know you didn't know this, but I wasn't an employee, like a full-time employee with them. I was just a dedicated volunteer.
For real? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was just a dedicated volunteer. And it was very much interesting. Like I said, it was the start of my career, but it was one of those spaces or places that have really made a mark in my life. And I'm glad that it started off that way.
Well, when you put it like that, I guess you have a history in volunteering, right? Because I thought, okay, I was very young. I was 15. So I was just like, oh, yay, Walia! I don't know why I loved you, but I always just have a thing for people. And honestly, biased, of course, I didn't know you were a volunteer. I did not know that a lot of people, probably majority of everybody, was volunteering at that conference, right?
Well, not really. I think there were only two or three of us that were volunteering. The others were full-time staff.
That's so interesting.
And we didn't want people to know about that. For us, it was just about getting some experience in the industry. Like I said, our careers were just starting off, at least for me, it was just starting off. And so it was being in this space and making the most of it. That's just like a part of who I am. I like to make, like enjoy where I am. It's the only way that I'll do it at my best. Yeah.
Yeah. And you were being in a space with how many teenagers? We were about what? Were we 300 for
Yeah,
that
you
conference?
were a lot. It was like between 250 and 300. You were a lot.
How is that?
It was different energy, different energy. But one thing is that we were all passionate about one thing, and that was the environment. And that made things a whole lot easier. The personalities added all that charisma to it as well. But it was a beautiful experience. Yeah.
I look back and I don't remember a lot of stuff about that because a lot was going on.
A
Like,
lot.
we had a car breakdown. I think going our bus
Don't remember
I don't. Yeah, it was a lot going on, right? But I also, I'm trying to look back to see what relationship, apart from you and Brighton, what other relationships did I cultivate from that? A lot of people still remember me to say, "Oh, you were Aka," and I'm like, I really shouldn't have a bad memory. But yeah, I get that. I'm like, "Oh, you were Aka, you were that." I'm like, "Ooh, that was 300 kids. How do we all know each other?" But I also think that was, how did we even start our relationship? Because that was a lot of people to keep up with.
It
A lot.
was. Yeah, sorry I spoke over you. I think my internet was lagging, so
No, it's
it was a
okay.
lot of people. And there were in every crowd, there's always those that will actually stand out. So I think you were one of those that kind of stood out in your own unique way. You, like I said, there were different people and they were all adding different charisma to the place. So you were one of those that definitely stood out. And it's funny that there could be, not that many, like a handful of you,
Yeah.
but I am in touch with you, of course, at different levels. Some of them are just like friends on socials and that's it. But then there are people like yourself whom we kind of kept in touch over the years, every now and then. Yeah.
Yeah, and it turns out into family. Now I'm an aunt.
Exactly.
Now I'm very invested.
Yeah, full-blown family right now.
Actually living my best life as an aunt.
Oh,
Somebody
yeah.
asked, "How many? Why do you have so many nieces and nephews?" And I'm like, "Bro, it's there's so many siblings you meet in the world. Oh, they're giving me nieces and nephews." And I think I love that. I love being an aunt. I love having relationships with everybody's kids, your kids. I really need to be more intentional about it. I really enjoy. I feel like I have grown. Like, people tell me you've grown, then you realize, okay, like,
Yeah.
okay, that time it used to be about me. When we have a call, we're just like, "Oh, how are you? How's school?" Now when we
Yeah.
have a call, it's, "How are the kids? How
Oh.
is this?" It's like,
Oh,
oh,
yeah.
I love that about myself.
I
So
enjoyed while it lasts.
just
Before you become a mom yourself.
I have babysitters. This is why you had kids first.
Yes, smart. Smart.
I have babysitters designated. I know where to drop my kids. I
Oh, you do. Definitely. You have a whole army.
have a whole army. That's why I'm investing so much in it. Talking about climate change, right? You and I met roughly, let me say, 10 years ago, 10, 9 years ago, right? And you've been in this industry, let's just say, clock it, 10 years. What are some of the changes you've noticed to how we are approaching the climate change sustainability now?
Yeah, so I've been in this industry, like you've said, yeah, nine-ish, somewhere there, yes. And I've been more biased, though, to the wildlife side of things. We met in the climate sector. I was like, climate, environment. Of course, you can't do wildlife without the climate and the environment. So I have, over the years, been very biased to wildlife related things. And I think it still ties in with all the climate issues and things that are going on. What has been my observation as what has changed is we are still learning, and I think we are gaining more interest then now. It's good that even universities or the academia are kind of being intentional about certain packages in the offerings of the schools. They're really infusing practical climate work, or climate courses. So it's good that that is happening. And another thing I think that has kind of over the years changed is youth participation has increased. It's not just dependent on like one organization, say UNICEF. It's really every organization, the government. We now have this, the new Ministry of Green Economy. So all these things, they're really a great addition, and we're having more voices, even as a country, to be representing in platforms such as the COP. Yeah, so I think we're really growing and we're learning in the climate space.
What do you think we could actually do better? When it comes, I know you're so biased. You and I always sell ourselves dreams, just putting it out here. You remember when you were working, was it Sioma? But you were in a designated area for 2 years and you're just working there. And I was just like, go on a vacation at Walia's because it looks so cool. You've been
Yeah.
in the conversation. Okay, I'm not pronouncing that right, so I'll move on. In the wildlife sector.
Conservation,
Conservation.
yes.
Okay, yeah, I tried. You've been in that space for a while, right? And like you said, there's no. We can't have. I think it's a subsector of the climate change in general. How much has it grown now?
Oh, the conservation space. Oh, it's really, really grown. I'll tell you one thing. At least when I was starting off in my career, and I studied what I studied wildlife management. It's called wildlife management then. But when I was enrolling, it was called wildlife biology and management at the Copper Belt University for my first degree. And it was that thing whereby when you complete, you are like, okay, I'll probably just go and work at then it was called ZAWA, but it's called Department of National Parks and Wildlife now, DNPW. In my head and many others' heads, that was the only place that you knew you could work. But now it has grown so much because there are so many NGOs across the board, across the country, inside and outside. There's so many NGOs that are doing various works in, I think, almost all the national parks. So it has grown that there is open doors for increased employment, at least. But also it has grown in the sense that you know how conservation is always perceived as a white man's job?
Yes.
Yeah, so it has grown in the sense that we really have a lot of local people now involved, not just in the basic stuff, but even in like management level. So it has really grown that way, and it's beautiful to see that come to pass. It's not just for anybody who is like just because they are Zambian, no, but even the actual local people from certain people who stay close to the national park, some of them are taking up like leadership roles, So it's grown in that sector. We still have a lot to learn and we're still evolving, but the change in progress is definitely notable from especially like 9 years ago. It's really notable. Yeah.
And if you'd met somebody, and if we have someone listening that is studying wildlife management and they're almost done, what advice would you give them on how to start up their career?
Oh, cool. I like that question. I like that question for two reasons. One, I can look back and think of what I did and didn't do well. The other thing I like about that question is because it speaks to my current role. Yeah, so I am I'm running a program called Rising Wildlife Leaders Career Program. It's for Wildlife Conservation Network. So I'm very passionate about kind of helping people navigate their career path in conservation. Yeah. So for someone who's like just finishing out, starting off, of course, there is no one size fits all for everybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that just because that's what you studied, it means that's where you work all your life. Some people just take a totally different turn. I have many friends who are just doing something totally different, but they're happy and they're doing well, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. However, if you really want to be invested in like conservation, for me, the one thing I'll tell you is you need to be very intentional about things like, it's hard, but yeah, things like volunteering, get all the exposure that you need. You also need to be very intentional about networking. You know the power of association, and you know how your network is your net worth? Yeah, right on that, a lot. Because it's only through knowing people when you be that's when you'll be able to see what's out there, and people will remember you and possibly share some job applications with you here and there. It's never easy. It's never easy, but the key is, like I said, to be very intentional and ensure that you at least, like I think everyone uses this term, put your foot, get your foot in the door. That's all you need. Once you just get your foot in the door, you can open the door a little bit wider for yourself. And so that's what you need to do. But also, I would say don't be shy, don't be closed up. If you want to ask for help, reach out to people, you know, because at the end of the day, we are really all products of help. I am where I am because somebody somewhere helped me to get to a certain level and all those kind of things. So, yeah, be very intentional about that. And when an opportunity comes, I would say, don't be like, oh, am I qualified for this? Am I? Go for it. Go for it. Because normally with the first degree, it's just there to assess how your logic is. Some of the things you learn on the job, on the go. So go for it and just dare to dream big. Prove yourself. Prove yourself because it is the world that we live in. When people don't know you, they will doubt you. So just prove yourself. Yeah, I think these are some of the main things I can say in terms of somebody who's just wanting to start out, eh? Yeah.
Like that. I also want us to like touch base if you've noticed any challenges when it comes to young people in volunteering. I love to volunteer. If I have the time, I'll volunteer. I always feel like it's a way to grow my network and learn something new and different. But I've also noticed that most young people are like, why should I work for free? Why should I put in my time? Why should I go there, work for hours and get nothing, just get a transport refund, which might not even be enough from where you're coming from. Like, what are some of the things you've noticed when it comes to volunteering and young people in Zambia?
I think you've already started out some of them with what you just said. You know, the main or some of the things I've noticed is, first of all, things are tough. You can't deny that.
Yeah.
Things are tough. Transport is way more expensive now than it was 9, 10 years ago. Yeah, and now there's Yango. So Yango is not bus fare. Some places you can't get to with a bus, you need a Yango actually to get there because they are far. So the main challenge is definitely resources. It's hard to volunteer when you don't have resources. And so some people can actually want to volunteer, but where do they start from? Yeah, and so that's where the issue of sacrifices comes through, you know. At times, something may look really bad, and you're just like, oh, why am I wasting my time? But would you rather sit home and watch movies or whatever you're doing than going out there and learn a skill that will help you in the future? No matter how small something looks or useless, it always kind of has a role to play in your life at some point. So you always have to trust the process. The process can be complicated, hard to understand, but it's always important to know that whatever you're exposed to, whatever is brought into your life is really, it's adding up. Nothing happens accidentally, you know? And yeah, because I am a Christian, I will always associate that to my faith as well, because I believe that everything is very much intentional about your life and how kind of God has played it out for you to be. And sometimes it's about the decisions that you make, but overall, they really are going to be significant at some point, whether you realize it or not. So yeah, the big thing will just be changing your attitude. The what do you call that? Sometimes your peers will not agree with you, and even the kind of environment that we're in different from the way it was a few years ago. But know who you are, know what you want. It's very important to know your values and align yourself with your values. Don't just go with what the majority is saying. When I was volunteering, I tell you, a lot of people were like, "Ish, working for free, wasting my time like that. Me, I can't." You know? And I won't lie, there were days where I felt like, "Oh my goodness, why am I doing this?" But then I was lucky. I was staying with an aunt who was like, "Look, you go gain all the experience that you need. I'll help you with transport." And that's all I needed. I have free food. I'm staying at her house. She's helping me with transport money. So I was good. A few times when we have these projects like the UNICEF one, we'll get some transport refund. Then I'll relieve her off for a few weeks and I'll use my money. But it was like that. But guess what? When I got my first job, the reason I went for an interview at 8, I was called at 16 to say you have the job. The reason I got the job, they said, "We love your level of dedication. We don't think we've had anybody who's had that level of dedication." So it looked useless then, but guess what? Without much experience, it helped me get my first job. I had to prove myself here and there, but it was like that one thing, you know, that helped me get my foot in the door. So yeah, I would say things, there are a lot of challenges now, but stay true to yourself and think about what you want to achieve and ignore the voices out there. Even people closest to you. My boyfriend then would be like, "Working for free, I can't," you know? But I knew what I wanted and I stuck to it. So
Thank
yeah.
God he's not your husband now.
Pardon?
Thank God he's not your husband now.
He is my husband now.
Well, my brother-in-law not
He look
kill
back and
me.
they laugh at it. Yeah.
This is something. I hope he listens to this.
I hope I'll share it with him. He has to listen.
I love that you touched on a few important things that we don't hear a lot of people talk about, which is the role the environment plays, like the environment you're in plays to the person you become and values. I feel like we don't talk about that enough now, like especially for us, like the younger generation. A lot of young people are not figuring out their values. And like, I don't even think people know their values. Everybody's going with the flow and with the facts. Because it's fun and it's shiny, I would do it. What would you tell somebody that is just there? What would you tell them on how to start up, on how to find their values or figure out what their values are?
Values are very personal, hey? And for you to know what your values are, you need to take time to kind of like do a deep evaluation on yourself. And normally, our values are aligned to those things that we're passionate about and things that you kind of do effortlessly. Those are where our values lie. So, in this day and age, as hard as it may be, you need to be authentic. Only when you're authentic will you know what your values are. You know? You also need to know, kind of, I can say, what your strengths are. Because we all have strengths. Yeah, there are things that you do effortlessly. And sometimes, if you're not sure what your strengths are, ask people around you. Like, what do you think are certain behaviors of mine that, like, you will know it's me, you know? So I'll tell you, in another life, if I wasn't doing wildlife stuff, I would definitely be a planner. because I like
Yeah.
I love to plan stuff. I love to plan my day. I love to plan like literally everything. With work, I'll even have like a whole list and I'm ticking out as the week and the day is going, you know?
Yeah.
And I like to organize things in a certain way that will kind of help me flow. Just when I look back, I'm like, yeah, I've made progress. So in another life, I would be that. So I am big on planning, I'm big on learning, and I'm big on getting things done. And so from those things, I'll be able to see like, okay, so definitely one of my values is discipline, you
Yeah.
know, those kind of things. So yeah, it's how you find your values. What do you do effortlessly? Are you the type of a person who, when you're told to do something, I was sure people have to sound drums for you to do it because you have a way in which, like, you don't want to do things there and then. So you figure out what your value is. Maybe your value isn't discipline. It's what you're not self-motivated, you know? Like, it's a different thing. It could be,
I would
looks
actually
like, but it
think,
can be a strength somewhere else. Yeah.
like something you said. Your, let's call it a weakness, right? Your
Yes.
weakness might be a strength somewhere else. Like that
Yes.
thing you think might be in
A
discipline
flaw.
when you're working on a certain task might be a strength for something else. Because sometimes I feel like we're told, you're so indisciplined because you can't get things done, this and this and that. But sometimes what you need is to learn to say, okay, why can't this trait that I have of not getting things done, where best is it needed?
Exactly. Like, where would be appreciated? So
More.
sometimes it's your flaws. Your flaw, it looks like a flaw, but it would be appreciated somewhere else. So let's say, how can I put it? Like, if you're that type of a person who, like, for me, I'm a very emotional person. Like, I cry easily, you know? I found a saying once on Facebook, I tell it when they're emotional, any slight inconvenience, you cry. So I'm that type of a person who is very emotional and it's silly things sometimes and I just feel bad about it. But I just realized that one of my strengths is empathy. So because I'm empathetic, it might look like, oh, when things don't go my way and stuff, I cry about it, but that is, it's a flaw. It looks like a flaw there and then. But in another space, it's actually a good thing because it helps me to kind of relate well with people, you know? Yeah, because I will literally put myself in somebody else's shoe if I am maybe in a position with them where I have to maybe help them with something, or if not help them with something, but just be there for them for something, you know. I'll put myself in that person's shoes. But in as much as I'm empathetic, I am also one type of a person who listens to my gut and, you know, I'm able to tell, like, okay, this is fake, that kind of a thing. Yes. So it can be a strength somewhere else. That's, yeah, it's a really small thing to compare to, but I'm sure people can relate
I
in
relate.
one way or another. Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
also an emotional person, so I relate.
Yeah, and they say people who are emotional, they've really got big hearts, eh? I'm not trying to be biased, but that's what they say.
I know what you mean. Because you've
Yeah.
known me for so many years, what do you think is, can you mention one or two strengths that I have?
Oh, for you,
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. You're charismatic.
Yeah.
You bring big energy, I think. You're one of those people. You like to laugh a lot. So you bring big energy and it's good because you're charismatic. That's one strength I think I've seen about you. And another thing is you are confident. You know? You and for that I think it will enable you to really go places because confidence can get you literally anywhere, you know? You just present yourself out there, you're charismatic, you're confident. Ah, there we go. Even if people don't want to listen, even if you've made a mistake, because of the way you're coming out, they'll just be like, oh, okay. Yeah, so never lose that and just keep improving on it.
I think I am. I think the years of volunteering, and I now see them pay off now. When I was doing it, I was just like, I don't want to do it. And just like you, my brother Brighton was like, what are you going to do with your time if you don't volunteer?
Exactly.
Make your mistakes now so that when the time comes, you're just really confident. So I look at the stuff I've done over the years, and he just kept saying, it's okay even if you mess up on TV, it's okay if you mess up on radio. You're voting, you're putting, it's like dibs. Like, you're like, okay, so this is a vote to the person I want to become. So, yeah, I think over the years, I've gotten a little better at talking to people. And yeah, I think so. But thank you, I needed that.
Welcome, and I'm glad that you're doing this. It's really good. It will pay off definitely. But also, you will look back because I think you keep getting better with each and every kind of season or podcast that you do. So you will look back and the growth will be admirable. And who knows? Like, who knows? You might own a TV show or station or radio or something one day, and all these important topics and voices will come out, you know?
I can't wait. I really can't wait to see. I do not know where the podcast would go, but when I was starting, I said 10 episodes, and if I don't like it after 10 episodes, I'll stop. But now
What number are you at?
this 30. I think this week on number 30. But then it's
Wow.
pre-recorded, so I have like six people pre-recorded because I'm also doing December and January, so I can find time to visit you all.
And guess what? I've just seen another sense just from what you said. I think you're also good with planning because
Yes.
plan
I don't like stress. I
ahead.
plan a
There we
lot.
go. That's useful.
I plan a lot because I'm like, I need a break and I need to pre-record and so that the podcast doesn't rely on me so much. So everything I do is how does the podcast go on even without me? That's why I have pre. So if I don't feel like recording next week, I won't record and I still have episodes to run for like 6 weeks. So yeah,
Nice. So
I
you
like
see,
that for myself.
so I'll tell you three strengths I've seen with you right now. You are an achiever, you are definitely a communicator, and I think you are a developer.
I have fun developing. A lot of fun. It's
So I think you asked me for two, and I
Give me
guess
five.
I elaborate. I'll give you 20 by the time we're done.
We'll make a whole list.
Yes, we'll see which one tops it, but yeah, we'll make a whole list.
I think developer tops it. And yeah, I enjoy it. I get bored easily, so I like a new challenge. But also could be my weakness. If I'm in a different place, boredom could be a weakness. If I'm working for a corporate, routine, actually not boredom. Routine could be a weakness if I'm working for a corporate, but it's not a weakness if I'm working for a startup because everything can fall apart. So nothing goes as planned. So that, yes, nothing goes as planned. So that keeps me going to say, oh, this has messed up. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. We'll talk about it in the morning and I sleep. So yeah. I like listening to Simon Sinek a lot. So he always talks about how life is balanced in a sense that there are no strengths and weaknesses. It's just balance. The same thing we're talking about, right? It could be a strength somewhere else, but could be a weakness in another sector. Could be a weakness somewhere else, could be a strength in another sector. So putting yourself in places that make you win. Right? So instead of
True.
setting yourself up to lose, I think I'm doing so well in placing myself in places that make me seem to win all the time. So I know if I'm in this area, I'll win. If I go to this area, I will not win. And I'm just like, I'm not doing that. Why? Because I know that's not my strength, and my weakness would definitely skyrocket.
True, that is very true. I am also very big on to make my life easy, I have to ride on my strengths. That's the
Yeah.
only thing that'll make my life easy. Yeah. So I like that you do that.
Yeah, I really enjoy it as well. What inspired you to go into wildlife conservation apart from actually studying it? Because I feel like that's not something traditional that you'd be encouraged to study in
No,
university. Yeah.
no.
What made you do it?
It's funny. Like, you know how I say I like to ride on my strengths?
Yeah.
I have unconsciously been doing that, I think, all my life. Well, now I'm conscious, but before it was unconscious. So what happened was, when I completed my grade 12, I did not know what I wanted to study at all.
Yeah.
I did not know, like many people. And so I knew I find things like environmental related interesting. So my mom was like, oh, I hear there's a course, or people have been telling me there's a course called environmental, what? I don't know if she said environmental science or what, at UNSA. So I think maybe since you were saying you like stuff with the environment, maybe that's what you should apply for. I was like, oh yeah, maybe I should do that. So what happened was, by the way, I'll mention my mom a lot because I've been raised up. My dad died when I was
Oh, please. I love your mom.
10. So that's why mom is coming up. Dad died when I was 10. So what happened was when
Sorry.
it was time to apply, I think applications were open at UNSA and CBU at the same time. So what we did with my mom is she got on a bus to go to Lusaka to like send my application. Submit my application because I had already bought the application. We were buying application letters then. I don't know where they're buying them now. Maybe it's online, but by then we were buying from the post office. So I went to the post office in Kawe, bought the application letters for UNSA and for CBU. Then mom got on a bus to come to Lusaka. Me, I got on a bus to go to the Copper Belt. But I hadn't filled in the one for the Copper Belt University in full because I didn't know what I wanted to study, like I said. So got to, but I think for UNSA it was environmental related. I can't remember what course it was, but all I know is that had the
I
word
think there's
environment.
environmental education at UNSA.
Maybe
There's
that was the one. I don't remember. Yeah. So I got to CBU and I got there, went to the academic office, and I told the lady I found there, like, look, I don't know what I want to study. So maybe can you explain for me some of these courses that look interesting by title? If I mentioned them, she told me, oh, I'm not the right person to see. Go in that office and go and see a career and guidance counselor. Yes. These are people, they are there in offices, but
We
we don't make
don't
use
know.
of them. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I went in there, and this lady was so nice. I can't remember her name now, unfortunately. And she's like, oh, hi. So you want to study? Let me see your grade 12 results. She looked at my results and she's like, what do you want to study? I said, I want to study. One thing I know is I want to study something that has biology and geography in it. That's what, because these two subjects, I would do them with my eyes closed.
Ooh-ish.
Yes, those were like my strengths subject. Like easily, eyes closed, biology, I'll pass, I'll get an A. Eyes closed, geography, I'll get an A. So, she looked at me and she said, so what did you have in mind? I said, oh, I was looking at this course. It's called mining engineering. She's like, oh yeah, this one has a lot of geography in it. So it can make sense. However, there's also this other new program. It's called Wildlife Biology and Management. I was like, oh, it has the word biology. Sounds interesting. And wildlife, I like nature. So maybe this could be one of it. She's like, yeah, so put one as first choice and the other as second choice. And that's how I applied. And then when I applied, I was picked in wildlife, obviously because it was a new course. So them seeing that one person has applied, me definitely I'm going to be picked. But also, I was told by one of the lecturers during the induction to be like during registration. Yeah, one of the lecturers from the School of Natural Resources where the course was coming from, he was like, oh, so you're Walia Kampamba. I'm the one who selected you because I like your results. You would do well in the course. Yeah, and the lecturer is now a professor now. He's Mr. Chivesa, or rather Professor Chivesa. I need to pay him a visit and remind him one day. I don't know if you remember. But yeah, he was one of those, you see, who already made an impact for me. And it was, like I said, one of my strengths. Of course, it was not the journey was not always smooth. It was a lot of learning, and we were the third intake in that course, but I am glad that I did it. So that's, yes, that's how I found myself in this career. And when I was doing it, Aka, I tell you, my mom was being asked, like, questions about studying at CBU. What kind of a course is that? You
Would you
know?
find a job?
Yes, will she ever find a job? Why didn't you let her do something like accounts?
Nursing, doc, medicine.
Yeah, medicine, you know, the prestigious ones. Yeah, and I was so lucky for me. Mom is those type of people who let you do something because, yeah, you want it and you're happy about it, even if
Yeah.
she doesn't understand it. She
Yeah.
just used to be like, "So, Kosi, how is this course?" You know, in vernacular, of course, like, "Kosi, yeah, Bashan, yeah? The people are asking me." And I'm just like, "Hey, just let them be." Yeah.
Like that. It's such an interesting thing, right? Because I'm looking back to how I picked accounting and I'm just like, my parents just needed me in some university, guys. So accounting was the easiest thing I could do with my skills.
Yeah.
Not something I would actually be an industry I would work in because it has so much routine, but it's something I could do. It's a nice story. You highlighted something that you mentioned is we have career guidance counselors in universities and we don't utilize them.
No.
Even in schools,
We don't
actually.
even know that they're there.
I knew we had a career guidance school office at my school. I don't think I ever went there and asked, what do you think I'm good at and what do you think I should go on? Yeah, they're very underutilized but very important in society. Because I don't think we'd have a lot of these issues we're having right now if we had a little guidance or the information that you can go to this individual and they'll help you. In high school or in college, that's something we need to have more conversations about, I think.
That is true. That is, and they also need to find a way to kind of publicize their relevance, you know? People don't know.
High key feel like they just like not doing their actual job.
We should be the generation to change that
Yes, we need to force them to do their job. Because
dynamic.
I don't think they want to do their job like that. It's a
They'll lose
flex.
touch. They
Yeah.
don't.
So now you are in the wildlife space. I don't want to say, I don't know if I'm going to say it correctly, but it's in my head. No, I'm not going to say that. But you're in the wildlife space, you travel a lot, and yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I give up one, in the wildlife space, I'm supposed to be saying the C word, but I'm failing. And you travel a lot. What are the few things you've learned and the differences when it comes to how we do things in Zambia or Africa and let's say the western side of the world?
Well, I think one thing I'll tell you is definitely Africa is rich in wildlife.
Facts. Facts. I
And I think it's important for us to know that it's ours, you know?
know.
And there's no better person to take care of it than ourselves. Because it's only then that we will know the value when we do that. One thing I have noticed that is different is there's this thing of maybe some, I can say, instead of us developing certain things and then kind of working to improve with the Western side, we wait for the Western side to tell us what to do. Yeah. It's not everything I say, but they're those kind of things, you know? And yeah, that shouldn't be the case. I think it's important for us to take interest. They do that because they've seen we're not interested. So
Yeah.
it's important for us to be very intentional, take interest, learn. It's the only way that kind of this space can evolve. Yeah, but the other thing that I've seen that is different is that I'm in as much as they're telling us what to do, they even seem more passionate about conservation than ourselves, which is unfortunate. Again, I mean, it's good that they're passionate about it and they really, really help, especially when it comes to funding with some of these things. But trust me, we can do so much more even in ourselves. We just need to be more invested. And the kind of conservation will thrive better when we all move as one. And moving as one is not just about talking, but it's also about me as an individual, what I'm doing to make that difference. Am I paying it forward to another local person? You know, how invested am I in even simple things like mentoring other young people? Yeah, so those are some of the things that I've seen. Our friends out there have realized the value of paying it forward, the value of helping. These are things that I think in Africa we still need to develop a lot.
I just don't think it's in the conservation network, to be honest. I feel like it's everywhere where we wait for them to tell us what to do. We're not very proactive on things we know we should do them. It's we're more proactive if we have, I know funding is important, but it's like we're more proactive when we're affiliated to certain organizations and this and this and that. So yeah. It's interesting that it's also happening in the conservation space.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of behavioral change that needs to happen, be it people in the urban areas, people in the rural areas, maybe even in the rural areas, they might even be better than people in the urban areas. But all I
Facts.
know is that there's a lot of change that needs to happen, and we have obviously acknowledged or realized that, yeah, we need to do this together. And we just need to be very strategic about doing that together and plan well because, yeah, we need, in as much as it's different continents and all those kind of things, but we need to ride on each other's strengths. Who comes in when and where? Yeah.
No, I do think that's true. And I do believe people in the rural areas are better than people in the urban areas, but I don't think we're ready to have that conversation. So, what do you think is the next step, or what do you think will be the next steps for the conservation industry in Zambia and the world?
Oh, that's a big question. That's a very big question. But I think the next steps is something that I have already said, which is we should learn to harness the value of togetherness. And we need to, yeah, find a way to always pour it back, but also, we need to remember that, and this is one of the values of the organization that I work for, which I really love this because it aligns with me as a person. There's one of our, it's one of our values, I can say, or sayings, is that conservation thrives when it's rooted locally. Yeah. This is something that Wildlife Conservation Network believes in, and I, as an individual, believe in. And I think this is some of the next steps that should go with conservation. We should remember that because the value an individual brings is what makes the difference.
I like that. Conservation will move forward, and I'm quoting, I'm paraphrasing, if it's rooted locally. That's so true. Moving away from conservation, what's your favorite thing about being a mother?
Oh, we're now going to the other side. There are a lot of good things about me. Like my favorite things are just looking at these two humans portraying their different traits, and you're just like, oh, I made this, you know. It's nice to have, obviously, people call me mommy, and I love that. But I also love that I am responsible for them. Hard work. But I love that. I really, really love that. It adds to like my essence of existence. Yeah.
That's so interesting. And what do you think is your favorite childhood memory?
My favorite childhood memory. I'm laughing because have I ever really thought about this?
Yeah, I want you to think about it now.
Yeah. I think I have a lot of childhood memories, but here's one, and I will say this one because we've been talking about career.
Yeah.
Now, you know how people say like you should observe a child when they are growing up.
Yeah.
They will tell you what they want to be. So for me, rewind, 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 rewind. When I was in, I think, reception, going into grade one, my favorite childhood memory is we went for a school trip at Mundawanga.
Yeah.
And it was thriving.
Yeah.
And we went to see the lions. And I still have this picture. One day I will show it to the world.
Please.
We went to the lions. I used to be at, was it a nursery school? Yeah, it was a nursery school called Jack and Jill in Kawe. So we went, I was privileged to, we used to go on that those fancy school trips, you know?
Yes.
Yes, so we went on this trip, and then while we were at the lion's cave, the lion roared, and everyone ran away, but I just stood there.
You're like, oh.
Yes, I stood there, and for me, I was like, wow, you know?
Cute. I believe you.
Oh, do that again.
I believe you. That's so you.
Yeah, and the teacher was shocked. She's like, this is your, she's like, just on me, kneel down, just there, kneel down, don't move. I squatted and they took a picture of me with like the lion seated and me seated. Of course, there was a cage in between.
Yeah.
And yeah, and they gave it to me later on, like when we go back. Oh, and the teacher was telling my parents that she didn't run away. And I remember very well. The teachers that I went with, her name was, I think she had a funny name, but it stuck to my head. I think it was Mrs. Madibula or something like that. Yeah, not so common name, but that was what happened. And I think I would stick that out as my favorite childhood memory because I think that was where my conservation journey started.
Like that.
Yeah.
My aunt always, my mom's elder cousin always looks at me now and she goes like, I believe what you used to tell me as a child. Now I believe
Yeah.
you. I'm like, yes, this kid said to travel the world and you're here traveling the world and we don't pay for it. And I'm like, yeah. So yeah, I think yes, we should be listening more to what kids say. A
True.
lot of them really, a lot of us really make our dreams come true.
Yeah, that's it, and I love that we do, eh?
Yeah. Vale, you have an opportunity to ask me a question.
Oh, one of the questions you have already even answered.
Thank God. I think I have, I know.
But I still want to find out, it's, well, this one would be straightforward, so no, I'll change it. But what has been the most challenging thing for you running this podcast?
Showing up.
Is it?
Yes, I do think a lot of people think I do it effortless, right? I tend to show that trait out of me, but like you mentioned, I plan for stuff. And because I do get bored by routine a lot, so
Of course.
it was exciting in the beginning. I was recording a podcast a few days ago and I was like, I'm bored. I do this podcast thing all the time. Like all the time. I was at my brother's house the other night, and I'm like, I'm so tired with the podcast. I liked having a safe space to say it. Yeah, so far I think showing up is one of my biggest challenges. I just don't want to show up.
I see.
The good thing is I know that to be my weakness. So me pre-recording is me, yeah, say it's balancing it to say if I decide not to record for a month, I'll still be good.
Yeah, that's good. I like
So
it.
showing up has been my biggest challenge, and I give myself grace because I don't think podcasting is easy. I'm like, how does everybody do it? How do they grow
Yeah,
into?
you guys do it.
I'm struggling. I'm like, now it's growing, I guess. Like now I see the traction, I see the emails, I see people talking to me about the podcast. But in the beginning, it wasn't. People were not listening, people were not sharing. So it's now I see it grow and I'm grateful about it. I just don't want to show up half of the time. I'm glad it does. My life, the podcast is not centered upon me showing up. Yeah, for two different people. I'm so grateful for that.
Since I'm your big sister, can I ask the last question?
Yes, of course.
What are you looking forward to in the new year?
Travel. Yes, I look forward to traveling more and figuring out who I am as a person. I did give myself 2 years after graduating not to go the traditional route. Start a business. The podcast is under the business. Start a business. Travel more. So there's so many funded things for young women. Travel for that. And next year, just intentionally building my business and deciding if I'm going to school or not again. Because you all are saying, go to school, get your master. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to get my master's. But yeah,
Now before
I
starts happening. If you have
Yes.
the funds, yes.
And sometimes it's not even about the funds. I've realized that because it's me, I have so many options, and that's a problem. I think you know what I mean. I
Of
can
course.
get opportunities because it's me. And a lot of people are getting frustrated. A lot of people in my life are getting frustrated because I feel like those opportunities don't align with where I'm going. So I keep saying no. So I'm so scared that I'm saying no to so many stuff now and having faith that whatever I am planning to do work out. My other part is like, what if it doesn't work out? I know I have, oh, what if it works out? But I'm so scared walking into the new year knowing that I said no to a lot of stuff. I keep saying no to a lot of stuff. Even if they're paraphrasing the same thing, I keep saying no to a lot of stuff. Will I regret it? So yeah, I would like to travel more, but I'm really more scared on the dynamics of how my life we will look like next year. So yeah, but I can't wait to travel more. I think when you travel a lot, you learn a lot about yourself as an individual, and it's a good thing to leave the country. When I say country, I mean Zambia. Go outside and come back so that you don't think what happens in Zambia is normal.
True. I 101% the podcast agree with this. 101, definitely. I agree with this.
That's a little bit about me. I think I've overshared. Anyway, I'm gonna ask you the same question you asked me because that's the last question I always ask is what do you look forward to? Not next year, but what do you just look forward to in general?
Okay, so in general, I look forward to a lot of things, Aka, because I like to dream big. There is a lot. I don't know if I can put that in the nutshell, and I'll try by all means not to talk too much.
Feel
But
free.
I am definitely looking forward to learning because I love to learn. Like you've said, travel, learn, know yourself. So I'm definitely looking forward to the next me, like the next how I'm evolving. I love how I'm evolving, and I'm looking forward to that, just being the best and authentic version of myself in so many areas of my life as a mother, as a daughter, as a wife, I am looking forward to all those things. Yeah, that's what I can say to cut it short.
Well, Valia,
And in
thank
my career, yes, I am excited for everything that is to come. And like you've said, life will present you with so many choices. Sometimes you'll be like, oh, will this come back to haunt me? But you know
Yeah.
what? Everything will work out for my good. And that's what I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, thank you so much. I think we had fun.
Yeah, we did. Thank you so much. And I hope we didn't run over time, but thank
No, we
you.
didn't. No, we did. I thought I was
Thank
thinking I'm keeping you. But because we're relatives, it works out for the
you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. You're the first episode, I wouldn't like kind of the first episodes where I get to bring a sibling, and it's so fun. It's interesting. I can't wait to have the other sibling in December. But I'm so glad
Awesome.
I guess I like the siblings. So the siblings are people I'm not related to by blood,
Oh,
but
yes.
are my siblings. And that
Yes.
I like sharing that part of me so that a lot of people know how to cultivate relationships. Does that make sense? Because I think I kind of have done a good job
Oh, you've done an excellent job. I will say that.
with cultivating relationships with you guys. So I've really enjoyed this. I've laughed so much. I've related, and I'm like, okay, cool. This is so us, but I hope people love this and enjoy it as much as we did recording it.
I hope so too, and I really, really appreciate you having me in your safe space.
You are my safe space, huh?
Aww.
And for everybody listening, well, I hope you find your siblings in this world. Life would be boring without them, best believe. And they're a good network to tap in. If you want more advice on how to create siblings, text me. But guys, thank you so much. I hope you share this with a friend, your siblings, your colleagues. I hope you learned something new about the conservation industry, even just life. I think it was such a conversation about life and living, and I'm really grateful for you guys listening. And that is bye from us. Bye.